very similar when my mum, just before she died, and she had was living on her own down in Ramsgate, and I'd go and see her, and we had the same conversations. Here's the ready meals, here's the tins of food, here's the milk, here it is. And I'd get home after driving for 3 hours, and I'd get a phone call. I can't find the milk. Can you drop some round? Well, not quickly, but I'll be back next week. We'll get some milk. It means a lot, doesn't it? Going away is often quite hard work. I don't know about you, when you're going away for work, perhaps you have to sort out, I'm taking a week off, so I'm going to spend a whole week getting ready for my week's holiday, sending emails, checking all my staff know what they're doing. Sometimes it feels like going away is harder work than just staying. We prepare, don't we, to make sure everything's in order. And this passage really is kind of, that's what Jesus was doing at this time. Let me just move this a bit. Jesus was getting ready for going away. This passage comes just after the events of the Last Supper, where Jesus had talked about, he washed the disciples' feet, and he talked about going away, he talked about his body and blood, and he talked about people betraying him. So you can imagine it was quite a strange atmosphere they were in. Perhaps the disciples feeling really uncertain, what's going on? And just before this, he talked about going to the Father and them coming with him. And they asked, how do we get there? And he said that verse that's become very famous, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he was talking a lot about going away. And then soon after this, of course, it was his crucifixion. And presumably the disciples thought, that's it, he's gone. But then, of course, we know that the resurrection and Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating in a couple of weeks' time. But Jesus was preparing them for the fact that he wasn't going to be around much longer. He was getting it all ready, doing all that sorting out. The spiritual equivalent, if you like, of here's the food in the fridge for you. He was getting it ready. And this passage is kind of quite complex. This one in John, it seems really mixed when you first read it. But there's some beautiful things here, really important things for us just to note. And it starts, I don't know whether we can have the reading back on the screen, if that's possible, just the beginning of John chapter 14. But he says this at the start. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's really important. That verse is so important because do you notice what he doesn't say is, if you keep my commandments, I'll love you. What he says is, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's out of a relationship that we decide to do what Jesus wants. But so many people think religion is, if you keep my commandments, then I'll love you. So many people have that viewpoint that we've somehow got to do enough and be good enough and behave in the right way to earn God's love. And you hear people saying, I couldn't go to church, I'm not good enough. I couldn't do that. I'm not good enough. And Jesus, in this very simple verse, makes this really profound truth at the heart of our faith. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you keep my commandments, then I'll love you. God loves us and therefore says, keep my commandments. Paul writes, doesn't he? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to become good and then think, now I'll save you. He did it first. And it's because he loves us. God loves us and says, because I love you, keep my commandments. We obey, we respond as a response to his love. It's not a transaction. It's not Jesus saying, if you do enough good, it's like going into a shop. Here's all my good things I've done this week. And God going, yeah, that's pretty good. I'll love you for a week and then we'll see how we do next week and we'll try again. He's saying, I love you anyway. But because I love you, keep my commandments. But it's really good to remember at this point that when Jesus says, keep my commandments, it's not, my commandment is go and walk up a hill or go and do this. His commandments are things like, be kind to one another. Love one another, care for the poor, look after those in need, forgive one another, forgive yourself. Those are his commands. So it's really easy to hear, keep my commandments. Oh, that sounds like a really kind of big lecture on what we're going to have to do. This is a way of living that basically makes life good for us and for those around us. And he says, because I love you, obey this, because it'll make life good. It'll make life good for you. It'll make life good for those around you. Obey my commandments, but do it out of love. Do it out of love. Because our faith fundamentally is a relationship. Fundamentally, being a Christian, as I'm sure you know, or some of you know, is about being in a right relationship with God. It's about being in that loving relationship. That's what it's about. And then we get on and do some stuff. But the most important question to ask ourselves is not, have I done all the right things this week? That's a good thing to ask, by the way. It's good to check. But that's not the most important one. The most important question is, am I in the right relationship with God? That's what we need to ask first. How's my relationship with God? Have I spent some time with God this week? Have I listened? Have I prayed? Have I sought forgiveness? Have I just spent time with God? Ask that first. How's my relationship with God? And then everything else flows from there. This really simple sentence that is so profound. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you ever find yourself drifting into turning it round the other way, stop yourself and go, no, it's not if you obey my commandments, then I'll love you. It's always, if you love me, then obey my commandments. And then he says, because of that, what's going to happen as I go away? I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He says there, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Jesus knew he was going to be here for a limited amount of time, 33 years just about. And he said, but when I go back, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. Which is why this is for us as well. Because it wasn't just for your lifetimes, and then we're done and dusted. It's forever. This message is for all his followers. It's for us. This, he's going to send the Holy Spirit for us, the Spirit of Truth, another advocate who will be with us forever. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit, living in our lives with us always, forever. And he calls him an advocate. The Holy Spirit is given lots of names in Scripture. The Spirit of Truth, a comforter, a guide. But in this one, it's called an advocate. And if you know anything about an advocate, that's a kind of a legal thing, which is about someone speaking up on your behalf. That's what an advocate does. They speak on your behalf. And one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is he cries out to God on our behalf. And when I was thinking about this, I thought one of the joys of this is, as we remember, God cries out, the Holy Spirit cries out to God on our behalf. That means that we don't always have to have the right words when we're crying out and talking to God. When we're praying, sometimes I know we find it really hard. I've often spoken to people to say, I don't really know what to pray. And sometimes people are thinking, I don't know what to pray because life's just too overwhelming, it's too bewildering, it's too painful, it's too awful, and all I can go is go, ugh, or ah. And what the offer of the Holy Spirit turns to God the Father and goes, this is what they meant, because I know their heart. And when they went, ah, this is all that's behind that cry. So if you're in a place where you feel you can't find the words to pray and all you want to do is go, ah, or ah, do that. And the Holy Spirit will be your advocate and go, this is everything that's behind that cry. This is why they're screaming or crying or so bewildered. The Holy Spirit knows exactly, because the Holy Spirit is in us. This is this deep relationship, this loving relationship of God in us, with us at all times. And Jesus is quite pragmatic in the middle of this quite profound spiritual conversation. He says, I'm going to send you this Spirit. It's going to be a Spirit of truth. He's going to live with you forever. And then he says, but by the way, the world won't accept it because it neither sees him nor knows him. You're going to get this wonderful Holy Spirit, and you're going to tell people to go, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're going to go, really? Prove it. Can't see him. You're going to find that people doubt you. It's interesting, isn't it? Quite realistic, pragmatic, as he's preparing to go away. He says, that's going to happen. But you don't need to doubt it. You don't need to doubt it, because they don't see him or know him. But you will. You will know him, because he lives in you and will be in you. Faith is not a science experiment. There are things that we can demonstrate and there are clever arguments we can come up with. But Jesus was reminding them, fundamentally, this is our relationship with God. And when people say, well, I can't see it. You go, no. Because it's not about, here's a science object, here's a thing. It's about a relationship. And so people will doubt and question. It says, but you'll know because he lives in you. Don't underestimate that relationship, that experience. The fact that others don't have it doesn't mean it's less for you. Know that experience. Own it. It's your experience. It's your story. And it's really important that we hold on to that, because so often people can say to us, really? I don't agree with you. That's not true. That's not right. I spend a lot of my time with people who want to say that to me. And I say to them, okay, but this is my story. This is my experience. I'm quite happy for you to tell me yours. It's going to be different. But this is my experience of having the Holy Spirit living in me. And this is why I know it's true. And yes, you might not agree with my arguments. Fair enough. Yes, you might not believe it. Okay. But I do. And I'm going to hold on to that knowledge that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So he assures them. He reassures them, this loving relationship out of which they obey him, out of which comes this infilling of the Holy Spirit. But then he goes even deeper. They might have been sitting there thinking, well, I'm sort of keeping up, that you're going to be with us, but you go in and an advocate, okay. And then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And you can see him thinking, I'm losing it here. This is getting a bit complicated. But he's saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not a religious leader who's just going, I set up a religion, now I'm off and I'm going to die. That's the end of it. You won't be left alone. It's more than that. You won't be orphans. We will care for you. I will be with you. And that's it. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you'll realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And I can't help but think they might have got to the end of that bit and gone, what? So you're in what? This you're in me, and I'm in, and you're in, and who's in who? Sorry, what? And it's starting to get those of us are of a certain age. It's starting to my mind, because I'm old enough to start thinking this is starting to sound all a bit Tommy Cooper. Do you remember Tommy Cooper? Bottle, glass, glass, bottle, glass. Do you remember that? And that kind of magicians. It's in here. It's not in here. It's in here. It's in there. And really, what's going on? I'm in you. You're in me. How does this work? Well, actually, a bit later on, because Jesus carries on teaching them, and in the next chapter, he gives an image to help them understand what this means. And he talks about a vine, a plant. And he says in chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's the image he gives of being in. He says, be in me like a branch is in a tree. Completely joined to it. But when the branch is joined to the tree and in the tree, inseparable from the tree, then the goodness of the tree goes into the branch, enabling the branch to grow. So the branch is in the tree and the tree is in the branch. That's what Jesus was meaning when he says, I'm in you and you're in me. That's what he was getting at. Like a branch is so attached to the tree, that's how it grows. And because of that, the goodness from the tree goes into the branch. The branch is in the tree, and the tree is in the branch. So this deep truth, we are in Christ and Christ is in me, and that is so much more different than we are just followers of Christ. We are followers, we are disciples, that's what disciple means, follower. But Jesus is saying, don't just be my followers, don't just follow me, don't just copy my example, don't just listen to me, be in me like a branch is in the tree. That's the closeness of this relationship. We are not just followers learning a lesson and saying, oh, let's go and see if I can copy it. We're not just doing that. We are in Christ like a branch is in a tree. And he is in us like the goodness of the tree is in the branch. That's the relationship he wants to have with us. That deep and close. Not just I'm at the front and you're following. You're like a branch on a tree. Completely connected. And when we have that image, when we really get that's who we are, I think there's three things that come out of it. First of all, we have this goodness, if you like, the Holy Spirit flowing into us. This one he's promised, this advocate, this Spirit of truth, this one with us. Because we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit, like that kind of goodness from the tree, flows into us, constantly connecting us, constantly putting us right there in Christ. So we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, just like a branch on the vine, the Holy Spirit in us, the tree kind of, it flourishes, doesn't it? It grows and flourishes, produces flowers and fruit. But when we get this image of being like a branch on a vine, being in Christ, it reminds us that, and the beauty of the image of a vine is vines have lots and lots of branches. A really massive big vine has hundreds of them. And that's the same for us as well. We are not the only branch on the vine. We are connected through that into Christ. But that means we're connected to every other Christian as well. We are all on the same vine. We're all different. If you like the image of going, some branches grow like this and some grow like that and some are really old and been around for ages and some are new little shoots and some are a bit twisty and going that way and some are strong and straight. But the thing that connects us all, we are all connected to the vine. We're all in Jesus. And some go in different directions, but they're still connected. Which means we're connected with every other Christian. All around the city, all around the world, there's only one vine. And we're all connected, which means we need to be attentive to our brothers and sisters, those other branches, if you like. And it means we should be caring, because actually if one branch is suffering and hurting, the whole vine, all of us, should be suffering and hurting, being aware of that. It's what unites us. But also, that branch, that infilling, as the disciples say, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he didn't mean that we can't do anything at all, but that this spiritual growth, that is what gives us what the Holy Spirit is talked about in other places, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And yes, other people can exhibit those things. But he's saying, but you, through me, will have it in a different way, in a new way. But it's going to come through me, through this infilling of the Holy Spirit. Stay connected and keep growing. Someone once told me, who knows a lot more about gardening than I do, which is everything really, that plants are either growing or dying. There's no static in a garden. A plant is either on its way up and growing, maybe, albeit very slowly, or it's starting to wither and die. They never stay still. And that's a bit like us spiritually as well. If we use that image, we need to keep growing. And some of us will have moments where we feel like we're growing a lot and we're going, really, whoa. And some of us might feel like we're growing quite slowly. But there won't be any static. And it's quite easy for it to wither. And there will be times it feels like it's shrinking a bit and withering. And then there'll be new growth. There'll be new growth. And it can carry on for the whole of our lives. We never need to stop growing spiritually. Our bodies might start to get a bit worn out. Some of us, after last week, feeling decidedly worn out. But our spiritual life can carry on growing. However old we are, however young we are, our spiritual life can keep growing. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost, the moment where this promise became the reality, where after Jesus had gone, the disciples had to hold on to this promise, and it became a reality. And as we celebrate that, I hope you might just recall to mind some of these things, that it's a gift out of love. It's not something that we earn. It's always because I love you, not because you've been good, then I'll send it. It's a gift. The gift that unites us together here and with our brothers and sisters. The gift that means that we are in Christ like a branch is in a vine, and he is in us like the goodness of a tree is in the branch. And from there, we can grow. We can grow in our love of Christ, in our love of one another, and as we obey his commandments, in our lifestyle for the good of ourselves and all those around us. Amen.